For the Family Vision Center in downtown Atlantic, this is Chris Parks, joined as always by Cass and Adair County Conservation Officer Grant Jelly with another week of the Conservation Report here for you. Good morning, Grant.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Getting into the deep cold of winter now. We've had some really cold days here and probably not a whole lot of fun being in the outdoors, but there are some other things, of course, that start to happen this time of year at wildlife-wise, I think it's been kind of interesting lately. I just driving out to the station here the other day, we had about a dozen pheasant that were just out all grouped together in the field out there. So I think it's that kind of time of year where you know, you get some warm days and they kind of get out there, so you see some things out there.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, we were pretty fortunate during this last snowfall to kind of avoid the massive amount of snow that they were maybe predicting. And that's really important to our upland species, you know, especially pheasants and quail, and particularly quail. It was good to see that we didn't get any ice accumulation, because that's something that those birds have a real hard time getting through. You know, they can deal with a few inches of snow. Pheasants are certainly more hardy, but quail in particular really struggle with any type of ice or crust that forms. Then they have to kind of go and do some above ground foraging and on seeds and things like that. And if they can't scratch through to the surface like a pheasant can, life gets really tough for them. And then you follow that up with some sub-zero temperatures like we've experienced, and that can really take a toll on a population that, you know, has kind of had some struggles the last few winters. So, you know, we're partway through winter now, and I guess for those of us who like to bird hunt, we kind of keep our fingers crossed that we don't have lots of snow and lots of cold temperatures, because that can really affect our hunting for years to come.
Yeah, certainly. So things changing out there at times. One thing, of course, that goes along with the cold weather that we had on our list here is ice fishing. And we've had a couple of incidents, unfortunately, here in the northern part of the state with some accidents that have happened with some vehicles falling through the ice. And it's just always a sober reminder of, you know, just how dangerous that stuff can be, and just to make sure that you're taking right precautions when you head out there.
Yeah, definitely. You know, within the last couple of weeks, we've had a few machines go through the ice up on the Okoboji Lakes, one being a snowmobile and the other one being a UTV. And you know, people sometimes kind of forget when they go up to these lakes. They often think, well, it's, you know, it's northwest Iowa. It's, you know, they treat it like it's Antarctica, and that the ice will never break. And, you know, what we fail to forget is that this has not been a typical winter. The ice didn't freeze until much later in the season. And on top of that, you've got a little bit of snow cover, which can kind of weaken the ice and insulate it. And then you have these ice heaves that often happen on these bigger bodies of water. And so accessing the lake can be difficult. And then you get snow covering tracks where people are commonly using the same trail. People kind of start to go off on their own, and you know, they may not realize this was a place that was kept open later by waterfowl, or you know, the sun hitting it, or aerators, or things like that. And that's when they get in trouble. And then, you know, some of these machines nowadays, these UTVs, are, you know, they've got four seats in them, and they're nearly as big as a small car, and they weigh a substantial amount. So, you know, just operating them anywhere can be definitely dangerous. They have the Winter Games up there this weekend, and I'm sure there'll be some incidents up there as well. And we'll keep our fingers crossed that everybody is safe and uses some common sense. But yeah, it's a kind of a sobering reminder that, you know, there's no such thing as 100% safe ice, and especially when you start getting vehicles and heavy machines involved. It can really be dangerous and expensive for those who have them go through the ice. They have to get them out and get them cleaned up, and that can really be costly. So just, again, a good reminder to make sure that we use some common sense when we're out there enjoying ourselves on the hard water.
Yeah, make sure you're doing that testing along the way as you're out there. Speaking of fishing, we had a couple of other notes related to that. This is more so for different times of the year, but there is a new opportunity for those that are kind of enthusiasts of a little bit of different type of fishing. Trout fishing can be something that is popular, especially up in the northeast part of the state, and a lot of people make a trek up there just to do that at certain times of the year, and opportunity now to get a lifetime trout license so you can enjoy that.
Yeah, it's a new license that's being offered, and for those who are age 65, they can purchase that lifetime license for $65. You know, much like our lifetime hunting and fishing license, it's a pretty good deal when you start doing the math there. And, you know, even if you're a person who fishes some of the stocked lakes, like Big Lake over in Council Bluffs or some of these other urban-type lakes where they do stock trout, that stamp is still needed. And so this is a money saver in that regard, and just something that, you know, is another thing that you can get, and you don't have to worry about purchasing annually if you're 65 years of age or older.
Yeah, certainly a good thing to keep in mind, like you said, even in those areas where maybe it's just a yearly annual stocked event and it's something that you always partake in. Well, here's an opportunity to maybe save you on down the road and not have to worry about that. Another season that'll open up here as well, coming up at the start of February, is folks that like to get out and do some of that snagging of those giant paddlefish will have that opportunity here starting at the beginning of February.
Yeah, February 1st is the opening day for the paddlefish snagging season on the Missouri and Big Sioux Rivers. Something a little bit different, not something that we typically see in some of our inland lakes here. Just don't have paddlefish. They're more of a flowing water river type species. Pretty unique fish. They're probably one of the most prehistoric type fishes that we have here. A very bizarre, odd looking fish, sometimes referred to as a spoonbill. They feed on plankton, and so that's not something that you're going to be able to bait a hook for and toss out there and catch a paddlefish. That's why a different method is used for them and people snag for them. But kind of like a shark almost, they don't have any bones. They're composed of cartilage is what their bony system is made of. So a little bit different species. But, yeah, I'll make sure that you've got your paddlefish license and you're following the rules and regulations on those waters if you're going to be taking part in that February 1st opener.
Yeah, not something that I have ever done personally, but I've always thought it would probably be kind of fun to try one time. It look like it would probably be a pretty fun battle for you.
It's a workout, too.
Yeah, I bet. Another thing to keep in mind here for folks, if they want to have some input on changes that may be coming down the road, the DNR always does a great job of trying to reach out to the public and see what's on the minds of outdoorsmen around the state. And there's going to be some public meetings where you have an opportunity to contribute to that, and there'll be a couple of them here in Southwest Iowa.
Yeah, so each winter, the DNR hosts what we call listening sessions around the state, and just kind of a recap on what went well during the past hunting season, what didn't go well, any changes that are recommended, any new laws that are going to be implemented might be discussed. But we've got quite a few locations around the state, but just some of the ones that are going to be closest to home here are going to be Creston on February 22nd at 6 p.m. at the multipurpose room at the YMCA there in Creston. And then another one that we'll have is going to be on February 24th at 6:30 p.m. at Council Bluffs Fish and Game Club. That'll be 531 Comanche Street in DeWitt. So that's another one that we're going to be able to have people attend here, and we really hope that we get a lot of public participation in these events. I always tell people, you know, a lot of times when I'm getting gas or just out and about on my daily routine, people stop me and, you know, I wish the DNR would do this, I wish the DNR would do that, and, you know, it's I value their opinion, but I really hope to see those type of people at these listening sessions, because that's exactly what we have these things for, and that's why we need to have people show up and kind of voice their opinion for these things. Because, you know, if we don't know about it, then it's awful hard to make a change. Or, you know, maybe somebody has a really good idea that could be kind of looked at, or we could do something about that. And, you know, if you don't show up and don't offer your opinion, sometimes it's hard for people to really have the right to complain or suggest something if they don't take that next step and actually show up. So hope to get people there, and we always like to hear what the public has to say, and hope you can attend one of those sessions if you're able to do so.
Yeah, and I guess just like any organization, you know, DNR is out there probably, you know, doing things that they think are beneficial and positive for the public, but you're always going to have different perspectives from folks that are doing different things or use the outdoors in different ways. And like you said, some of those ideas might be great and just not might have been thought of yet at the upper, you know, levels of the organization. So bring those ideas to the table, and there's your opportunity to do so. Another thing to keep in mind, too, we've talked about this the last couple of times, Grant, but still a good reminder. It's that time of year where you need to be checking those licenses and making sure that you're getting things renewed after the changeover here in January.
Yeah, definitely. So January 10th is the kind of the end of when our licenses expire. And so we're kind of entered into the new year, and this is when people are going to need to be thinking about renewing those hunting and fishing trapping license, which expired on January 10th. And we've got a variety of different ways to do that now. They can be still the traditional way of going in store and purchasing them. People can go to the website and buy the license that way. Another way that is becoming more increasingly popular is by downloading the free app and purchasing them from your smartphones if you want to do it that way. Another thing that has been around for 2, 3, 4 years now, I guess, is that $5 hard card. Pretty handy feature that is offered for $5. You can basically purchase that hard card, and it'll be sent to you in the mail. It basically looks like a credit card, and it'll have your licenses that you purchased at the time printed on that hard card. So, you know, you can show that hard card and have your hunting, fishing, trapping license if you bought them there. We got a new design this year. It's personally my favorite one so far. It's got a wild turkey on it. So that's a pretty good bargain, pretty easy way to keep those licenses in your purse or billfold. And they're pretty durable, and they can be run through the washing machine, and typically they don't get ruined like some of the other forms of licenses do. So lots of ways to pick up those licenses, and just another friendly reminder that if you're going to be out on the ice operating snowmobiles or on snowmobile trails, make sure that your snowmobiles are registered current year. You've got your snow user fee paid, and if you're in a county that requires a trail pass, you'll need to make sure that you have that as well. So license renewals doesn't always just have to do with hunting and fishing license. We have to think of those machines too, like ATVs, UTVs, and snowmobiles, to make sure that they're properly registered.
Yeah, good things to keep in mind. I know I personally have been guilty of that a couple of times. You know, you kind of hunker down through the winter season, and I'm not one that does a lot of the winter type stuff, but when it comes and starts to warm up in spring, you're getting that itch to try to get out there and maybe hit the water or do something, and then you think in the back of your mind, oh, geez, do I have a license? And you're scrambling to do that at the last minute. So good to take care of it now and to be prepared when things maybe change your way. So I hope everybody keeps that in mind. Stay safe out there. Grant, we appreciate you again giving us some information this week.
All right. Thanks, Chris, and we'll look forward to joining you again in the future.
All right. That's Grant Jelly, the Cass and Adair County Conservation Officer. I'm Chris Parks, and thanks to Family Vision Center in downtown Atlantic for another week of the Conservation Report here on KJAN.